I'm trying to assess the raw output a little bit before I send it to you guys because it's somewhat difficult to read.
Okay, that would be very good.
I didn't understand why you think the data that I sent you last night is not good. We have a higher throughput and slower latency. I mean, somewhat higher latency for the journal version, but isn't that to be expected?
I was looking at the no cache setting, the no cache policy. And I was expecting that the no cache would do worse than everything else.
Well, that's not necessarily true, right?
Huh.
Why would it do worse than everything else?
Because there is no SSD.
Right, but if you don't have cache, you only have to write to the storage. If you have the write through, you have to write on storage and then write on SSD. So the latency for write should be higher.
I can understand how no cache will do better than write through, but it seems to be doing better than everything.
Alright.
Look at the operations throughput.
Okay, operations throughput, no cache. We have a higher throughput for the journal version, not for the order, and definitely not for write through. Simple write back has the highest throughput.
Yeah. My concern is that the write back journal has a very minuscule improvement over the no cache. And
you said that it's not much of an improvement?
Yeah. I mean, the improvement is, I would say, about 3-4% or something like that.
Yeah, it's very minimal.
And somehow the latencies are higher for write back journal. So that's also something which was a concern, because latency and throughput should be inversely proportional. Oh, this is update latency, and I'm looking at overall throughput versus update latency. Maybe that's the problem. Yeah, because latency for read is lower for the journal.
Right.
So overall, I guess the latency is lower for journal and the throughput is slightly higher. Yeah, what I was kind of hoping is that we actually are able to extract much of the benefits of write back with the journal optimization. So right, the conventional write back is better than no cache, right? We see that it's kind of that's pretty clear. I think that's maybe more than 15% improvement, right? Maybe 20% improvement. But the improvement for write back journal relative to no cache is maybe 3%. It's true that, I mean, if we look at the difference between write through and write back journal, there is a huge improvement. The only odd man out in my view is the no cache. It's kind of seems to be arguing that you don't really need a cache. You get most of the benefit anyway, and if you don't have a cache, you don't have any other consistency issues. So
shouldn't we consider regular write back as a best case scenario?
Regular write back.
I mean, any approach that maintains some sort of consistency is not going to do better than regular write back.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's true, yes.
So our approach would be better as it gets closer to the write back.
Yes. so no, I'm completely with you. If the no cache column didn't exist, then all the numbers actually are great. So the only thing that's for me problematic is the no cache numbers. And I'm actually wondering what sort of consistency the iSCSI server provides. So let's say you write a block to the iSCSI server. Does the iSCSI server do any caching, or does it synchronously write to storage before acknowledging back the write? Do you know how that works?
I think this SCSI protocol itself do reordering as a package. So that is not a consequence of doing write asynchronous. It may be a consequence of the actual sending packages over the network, right?
Right. Right.
Send the package because somehow it didn't make it.
Right.
So I don't have an answer for your question.
Okay. Yeah, if it's a regular SCSI device, then SCSI devices are allowed to buffer the updates and respond directly back with a completion notification. So iSCSI, if it does that, then the blocks may just be getting buffered in memory. But I kind of find it hard to believe that someone would use that, because that could destroy consistency. If there is an out of order eviction of that iSCSI buffer. Okay. So I don't quite understand the no cache number here. Maybe it's because, okay, I think maybe there is an explanation here. I think that because there is no, that's probably true. That's probably what's going on here. So this is a full throttle workload, right? Which means that there is no idle time of any sort.
That's right. The client is issuing as many requests as possible.
That is the problem. I think if that's what is happening, and there is very little, let's say, overwrites, then doing any sort of write back caching is not very beneficial, because you actually need to still support the same amount of write performance at the storage level, and there is no idle time, so whereby you could sort of slowly bleed to the back end storage. So you're always kind of doing more work, and the requirements are continuous. There are no idle times where you can, let's say, quickly update the storage with a write back eviction, right? And not affect the foreground performance. You're always going to affect foreground performance when you do evictions. I think that's probably what is happening, which is why I was kind of hoping that we'll get some bursty workloads to evaluate. But this is this can be explained in that way. It can be explained, except that the explanation cannot be completely supported with evidence. The right kind of evidence would be, okay, we now have a bursty workload, and a write-back cache is actually better than no cache. A consistent write-back cache is better than no cache.
Right, to back up your statement, we have to count how many other writes we have before we write the journal, right? Before we edit the journal.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I just added Ming to the conversation.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Roger. Sorry I'm late.
It's all right. How are you doing?
I'm okay, yeah. I just put a piece down before I can try the meeting.
I see. Right, so I'm just talking to Leonardo about the paper, and he has some new data to share. So I'm going to actually forward this thing to Ming as well, because I don't see him in the list. Those are the numbers we are looking at now. You'll get the numbers via email in just a minute. Okay, so this is something for us to think about. It seems like without a cache, we get performance that's equivalent or slightly better than write-back journaled, primarily because we are running a full throttle workload that's continuously hammering the storage system, right? And the assumption with rather the attractiveness of write-back is that there is burstiness in the workload, and that the burst can be absorbed in the SSD, and they can be slowly bled out to the back-end storage, right? So that the back-end storage does not have to support the full write bandwidth requirement. So that, for me, is the biggest attraction for write-back. If we don't have burstiness, then we'll see numbers like what we are seeing here. That is, the write-back performs equivalent or worse to than no cache. I do see actually that the conventional write-back does better than no cache, right? And that's a mystery to me. How is that happening? So those numbers do not support my theory that because write-back does actually perform better than no cache. So I'm not entirely sure what's going on. Maybe what's happening with the write-back is that it is able to perform evictions with much more parallelism than in the workload, than in the original workload, and that's what is speeding up the write-back. That is one possibility I can think of. Whereas the parallelism with ordered is similar to the parallelism with no cache. The parallelism with journaled is maybe a little slightly better than the parallelism with no cache, but you do have additional writes that are going to SSD. Every write goes to SSD and then to storage. And actually, journaling allows some coalescing, but still there is this overhead that comes up that you need to perform writes twice for most of the blocks. So here's one suggestion. We could just contrast the write-back options with write-through, right? And to show that the write-back ordered and journaled actually are significantly better than write-through, and the write-back journaled is actually very close to write-back. I think to presenting the no-cache numbers may mislead the reviewers to sort of assume that there is caching is of no benefit here. And that's not entirely true. I think the real problem is that our workloads are not bursty enough.
Is it that or the fact that there's not a lot of overwrites?
I think there are overwrites because write-back is actually doing pretty well. So based on that number, I can assume that there are overwrites, but they may not be as close together so as to benefit write-back journaled. So that's probably why write-back journaled has a gap relative to write-back. So Leo, here's what I'm suggesting. Let's plot the latter four columns with the write-back three options and write-through, and to leave out the no cache.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think I'm not saying that we sort of do not present all the information, but I think to present this information, we need a different kind of experiment so as to be able to explain the numbers and justify the utility of caching.
Okay. Makes sense.
Okay, so now you're saying that you have numbers for three other workloads?
I do, but I still don't have any. I can show you to see the numbers, but it's not organized in a table like this. It's not going to be as pretty to read.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. And when you look at the numbers, do they all make sense to you, similar to what is seen here?
I haven't looked at numbers because I've been running it during the night and I was tired. I couldn't make sense of them, but I have them ready.
Okay, why don't you send it to us so that we can give you some input? Also, in terms of the plots, what do you have in mind? What do you want to plot?
I guess something like a bar plot, a cluster bar plot like the one you sent me yesterday, for example, would make sense.
Okay. And the clustered bars has, in each cluster, we said that we're going to have a single workload, right?
Exactly, yes.
And across, and okay, so there are one cluster per workload, and within each cluster, we have four policies.
Right.
Okay. Perfect. And we have one, certainly we need one for throughput, operation throughput. Right? And, let's see.
So we need one for, I guess, average latency and one for throughput.
Yeah, we need one for, I guess, operation throughput and load throughput. I'm not sure if we need one for load throughput. What does load mean?
Lower throughput, where are you
So
reading that?
I'm looking at the numbers. There are two sections, right? One is loads and one is operations.
Oh, that's right, yeah. The thing is that before you execute a workload, you have to preload
Oh, okay, so.
database for the load. So I guess we can consider that as a work, as a workload which is write intensive. There are no reads, only writes.
And this would be, let me see. Now that's kind of an odd workload because it's just loading the. It may be fine. Yeah, we should probably do that as well. We should do load throughput and operation throughput, both of them. Let's do that. And we should plot the latency as well. So latency, I would say average. And I guess 95th and 99th percentile as a stacked bar. Do you have examples of stacked bar, stacked and clustered plots?
There are many on the internet. That shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I think we have something in the soft PM paper which you can reuse. And if not, let me know because I have some examples somewhere.
Yeah. The first thing they need to do is to find a way to get the numbers and put it in a way that is easy to plot. Because right now, that's not the case.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. All right. That sounds good. So I wish Ricardo were here so we could discuss what he's been up to as well, but he's not. So maybe Ming can tell us what he has in mind and what
Okay.
he's been doing and how he needs how we can help him.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So I submitted my results. I submitted a report in the discussion section, but I think I need to move to a different section.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna extend my write-up and I will, like what you suggested, I will contrast it to the design for disasters paper. So I have a couple of questions. One is how much space I can use, and the second is because I haven't seen the little work section yet. We have a little work section written already.
We don't have, and that's the next thing I'm going to ask your help for.
Okay, sure. Because that when I discussed at least when I discussed the design for disaster paper, that would overlap a little bit with the related work
That's what I
section.
thought, yeah. So in terms of page budget, Ming, I think you can actually go ahead and use like 1.25 page to 1.5 pages for whatever you
Okay.
have.
Okay.
And
How are we doing space so far?
I think we are doing okay with space, except that the evaluation section is lagging behind, so we don't really have a page budget there. We don't know how much it's going to take. I'm guessing that the evaluation should be not more than 2.5 pages, right? And right now I'm doing a revision of sections 3 and 4, the basic design and consistency analysis sections. And I'm looking at my papers here, and until section 4, we are at page number 7. So we have 5 more pages that can span the new section that you are writing, the evaluation, related work, and conclusion. So I think we are okay on space. We are not terribly short.
So then I just try to write as much as I need. In terms of cloud, I think I do one. I mean, I think that is all depends on space, because the cloud is not absolutely necessary. I feel it'll make it easier for readers to understand it, but it's not absolutely necessary. Because I can use the numbers in the example to draft the paper. They have some numbers on the penalty rates, the data loss penalty rates for different types of data sites. So I can see whether we can find a match there for the benchmark that we are running. For instance, if we have a postmark, then maybe I can find a match in terms of email workload in the example disaster paper. So the penalty rate I can probably borrow from there. Then the but because at least in my write-up, the optimization is balanced between your performance and the data loss, right? And the performance in the end has to be converted to revenue somehow according to a certain ACRA, and that we don't have that number. We don't know how much performance should be mapped to how much how much revenue. That we have to imagine somehow.
Right. So, does the designing for disasters paper have any numbers along that line? The performance
No, I don't think so. I don't think they have only have cost for the infrastructure. And how much you have to pay to, say, have a mirroring and different types of backup systems. They don't have numbers in terms of how, because they don't talk about the trade-off between performance and reliability.
Yeah, I think that's one of the contrasts, right? One of the contrasts with our
Yes.
work. Yeah.
Yeah, I can certainly discuss it. Yeah, that would be a very different objective. So that would make our discussion quite different from theirs. But I'm just saying, in terms of plots, we have to imagine an SRA in order to put everything in the same plot.
Yeah. If we can find some data on SLAs in the real world, I think that would be good.
Yeah, I try. I try to Google and see what I can find.
Yeah. Okay, so Ming, when do you think you'll have that new section for us to look at?
I should be able to finish it by the end of tonight. I think I can do a little bit work in the afternoon. In the evening, after my kids go to sleep, I should be able to concentrate and finish it.
Okay.
The other day, yeah.
All right, that sounds good. So, and from my side, I'm hoping to actually finish up at least section 3 today, so that you guys can look at it and give me feedback. Ming, if you can read through the first two sections, they're already mostly finalized, based on all the comments that I got from the Fusion IO guys. But I haven't had a chance to get your feedback. If you can read through it when you get a chance, that would be nice.
Shouldn't take much time. I read it before you revise it, so I can try and do it.
Okay, that sounds good. And I'm going to try and so Ming, is it possible for you to tell Ricardo what plots you need from him?
Sure. You told me that he's already working on those plots, right? Some plots showing the relationship between performance and the rabbi of window science. Is that what he's already doing?
He's doing that, but I think he was doing that only for one of the workloads. I'm trying to recollect which one it was. It may have been Postmark. But I think we want something similar for the other one, right? Which is
Okay. I think about it and I emailed Ricardo.
Okay. You email him. The only issue is that he checks email only 2 times a day during meal times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because maybe his internet connection is not easily available.
Okay. Well, I try to tell him as soon as I finish the meeting.
All right, perfect. Okay, any other comments? Questions?
No, not on the side.
So Leo, you know what you need to do, right?
Right. If it is okay with you guys, I'm just gonna skip sending you guys the raw data and I'll send you already a plot.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that sounds good. As long as it doesn't take a long time, because I know that the clustered stacked bars take time. So if you have an example, it'll be much easier than you trying to figure it out on your own.
Right. I have the example that you sent me.
That's a clustered plot, but it's not a stacked one. I think what I was suggesting. Well, you don't need stacked for the throughput plots, but you'll need stacked for the latency plots if you want to show, like, the median 95th and 99th percentiles. You'll have to stack them.
Okay, I'm going to try to get the one that is not stacked, and once I have that ready, I'm going to send it out, and then
okay, all right.
I'll see if I can get the other.
Sounds good. All right, guys.
One question.
Yeah.
Do you think having an experiment in which we can control with what frequency we access the locality of the access in a file, imagine that we have an application that creates an operation in a large file, and we can access different, say, blocks in the file with a given frequency. Will that help us to evaluate the effectiveness of the cache?
Yeah, so those are called micro benchmarks. Right, they do not reflect any real world workload, and that's why it's not a benchmark. But it is useful. For instance, you can control things like burstiness also, right? Besides the locality, with such a micro benchmark, I think it will be useful. But let's talk about it once you go through your current list of things to do. So, shall we meet again, same time tomorrow via Skype? I'm going to try and see if we can get Ricardo also join the call. So, we might have to change the time a little bit so that he can join.
If possible, I would prefer to meet a little bit earlier.
A little earlier? Okay, in the morning?
It could be at noon or 11.
Okay. Let's try that. Well, let's say it's going to be at noon.
Okay,
at
sounds
noon.
Good.
Yeah. Ming, how about you? Could you join at noon tomorrow?
I think 2 p.m. or later will be better. So just when my kids are asleep.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll coordinate something via email then.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Gari bama gari 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 g
Thank you. Concert, as you keep singing, you reach a stage where you can basically transcend all these micro elements. They've created such an impact on the modern Carnatic music. Ungalku pasula pudi ninga nippu oh appa namu paadirom okay pudi da adu jagaraja paadana nadu okay notation irukku or paadirukku but on the bhavana and the kambodiyoda or alaga and the ethic adala avu paadi sathi but vibration paadi adu namma kaiyila vandu nikku so இன்னைக்கு பாடுற வச்சே நம்ம என்னதான் வந்து ஓரங்க சாகி பாடினாலும் அந்த இடத்துல வந்து ஜாகராஜரும் இருக்கார் ஒரு பக்கத்துல இப்ப காம்போஜ் எடுத்து காம்போஜோட பாவனை அந்த மியூசிஷியன் பாக்குறதுதான் இத்தனை பேர் பாடினோட அவங்க வந்து எந்திரிச்சு
Thank you.